Lessons.
There was a hell of a battle fought here,
said Shivers, pausing on the side of the hill to frown across the snow-covered valley, all silent in that brittle way only winter countryside can be. Isern gave a smoky snort.
You could say that of all the north. Is there a stride of sod anywhere twixt the Crinner and the White Flow hasn't been watered with blood at one time or another?
Not like it was here, said Shivers. Greatest battle the north ever saw. Black Dow had his standard on this very hill.
He pointed to the white fields below them on their right, slashed by black walls studded with black trees.
Scale down there, still with both hands, and Broad Tenways and Cairm Ironhead, Glamour Golden, Call Reachy over on the left in Osrong.
As Ricker struggled up level with him, he turned around and carried on climbing.
Every one of 'em back to the mud.
Well, said Isern, using her spear like a walking stick, being a war chief is a business heaped high with both risks and rewards.
Lord Marshal Croy stood on the other side, said Shivers, and thousands of Union soldiers, and your father too. 3 red days we had of it. Men struggled here with all they had for each step of ground, died and killed for every handful of soil.
He frowned out at the crisp, quiet white, stretching away to the hazy fells all around, and shook his head like he couldn't make it fit.
Now you'd never know. Few years passed, and it's just fields.
You've turned talkative, said Ricker. She couldn't remember the last time he'd said this much in one afternoon.
Brings it all back, I guess, being here.
Shivers stepped over the crest of the hill and onto its flat top, frowning towards the great ring of stones they called the Heroes, black against the white sky, like the prongs on a giant's crown.
The good and the bad.
No trouble planting your flag here now.
And Corlith stuck Ricker's rolled-up standard of the Long Eye into the snow, her face all blotched pink from the cold. One of the stones was broken halfway up. A couple more had toppled down the centuries, another sheared off and cloven by a crack, like it was dealt a blow with a mighty hammer. Ricker stepped over to the nearest and kicked the snow from her boots against its side. By the dead, it was a size. 4 times a man's height or more, topped with snow, streaked with wet, spattered with lichen, crusted with moss.
How did they get the bastard things up here?
Her face was pinched and her chest raw from the winter, but her body all sticky hot from the climb under her cloak, so she couldn't decide whether to draw it tight or fling it off.
Just getting myself up here was a struggle.
This is where Black Dow fought Calder.
Shivers was standing at the edge of the ring of stones, looking in at the snow-covered circle of tangled grass and thistle inside.
A duel to the death.
Aye, and you cheated, said Isern, and dinged Black Dow in the back of the head with that sword you're wearing, and so Calder became Black Calder and stole the north, and gave Scarlin's chair to his brother to sit in, who gave it to his nephew to sit in.
She stuck her bottom lip out and scratched at her throat.
Come to think of it, all this is your fault.
Shivers frowned down at the grey hilt of his sword, then over at Isern.
Calder seemed the better choice then.
And now?
And now, said Ricker, there's no unpicking the warp and weft of all the things said and done since that day. It's not a right choice or a wrong, any more than wind blown or snow fallen. And gingerly, as if she were laying her hand on a sleeping dog, she put her palm to one of the stones. Maybe she'd hoped for her long eye to pop open and show her hidden truths, but if there'd been high magic here, it was long faded, or at any rate, she hadn't the key to unlock it. It was just a stone. Corliss pulled out a flask, took a little nip and offered it around.
Seems your friend's not here yet.
He's no friend, said Ricker, taking a nip of her own.
Then we can trot off before he arrives, said Isern. You took Ufrith without his help, and you took Carlion without his help, and you've took half the north without his help, and now he slinks up, sniffing about like a badger at the hen house. You don't need his help getting your hands on the other half.
Might need his help keeping the half I've got the way things are going.
'Twas your own cockiness set things going that way, do you see? Did I not say cockiness was the grave you'd trip into if you didn't mind your step?
Only about 1,000 times.
Can't hurt to hear the man out.
Isern turned her head, spat chagger juice, and left a brown streak down her chin.
You'll be telling me next it can't hurt putting a crab down your trousers.
Ah, well, grunted Ricker, handing the flask to Shivers. My trousers, my choice to make.
No doubt. It is only that the choice you're making is a very poor one, as most of your choices have been since your skinny ass touched Scarlin's chair.
Ricker ground her teeth.
I could tire of your slighting references to my ass.
And I could tire of your way of managing the north.
Oh, you've made that very clear. I think what first gave it away is how you keep saying it, straight to my face, in front of anyone who'll listen.
A wise leader sups well upon the wisdom of their advisers.
It's a shame my advisers don't have any then, isn't it?
Oi, said Shivers, lowering the flask. I've a lifetime of defeats to draw on.
Ricker ignored him.
There was a time your lesson smacked of wisdom, Isernifael. Now they smack of mad wittering summoned on the spot. Or worse yet, the maddest bits picked out from your father's mad witterings, like a drunk squirrel picking nuts from a turd. I could do without the constant whittling down of my authority.
One cannot much whittle what is hardly there, snapped Isern.
First you shat yourself with the nail, now you think Jonah's clover's the jug to hold all our hopes.
There are some tasks trustworthy men aren't suited to, growled Ricker. You catch rabbits with weasels, not with bulls.
As one weasel might end up down your trousers.
What is this obsession with animals down my trousers?
I don't get it either, muttered Corliss.
You can shut your face, girl, snarled Isern, rounding on her and shaking her spear in her face, for I give it a shutting from which it will not soon open. Don't carpet her.
Ricker stepped between the two of them.
You've had it in for her from the start, and all she's tried to do is help.
By the dead, you're bloody carping. Have you ever heard of a woman with such a tongue for carping as this one, Corliss?
Corliss blinked at Isern, then at Ricker, and swallowed.
Honestly, I'd rather not get stuck between the two of you.
There's wisdom, said Shivers, frowning at the worsening row.
Ricker talked over him.
You're too generous, Corliss. See how generous she is? You couldn't carp any more if you were a carp.
Isern's knuckles were white on the haft of her spear.
Saved you, didn't I? In the woods, in the winter, not bad for a fish.
You did save me, and my ears are sore from being reminded, and my throat's raw from thanking you for it. If I was planning to get lost in the woods again, you'd be my first pick for a companion. But since I'm planning to sit in Scarlin's chair, I'm beginning to doubt you're fitted for the role.
She waved her hand towards Corliss. There are folk with leveller heads and sweeter tempers one could have at one's elbow.
Isern narrowed her eyes.
That a fact?
It is. And if it's a hard one to swallow, you can take yourself back into the hills whence you came and make houses out of shit or whatever it is your lot do up there. You made a promise to my father, but my father's back to the mud, and as far as I'm concerned, your promise went with him. Do you see?
And Ricker made a mocking imitation of Isern's hillwoman accent on the do you see, which she was rather pleased with. Isern was less pleased. Indeed, she'd had a look of gathering fury during that last speech, which was slightly troubling and made Ricker wonder whether she might have taken at least one step too far.
"Well, have a shit then, you little ingrate maggot," she snarled, spraying chaga juice and making Ricker flinch back. "You little painted piss smear, you fucking one-eyed wanker."
"There's some very pleasant one-eyed folk," grunted Shivers.
"My ass to you," hissed Isern in Ricker's face, "and the moon's curse to you, and the dead drip on your long eye. You can roll your own chagger."
And she stalked off in high dudgeon, the very highest indeed, shouldering Corlith aside, between the stones and away to the north the way they'd come.
"I've a fear,"
said Shivers, his scarred brow furrowed in a frown.
"That was a mistake."
"Wasn't my first," snapped Ricker, well aware of what she'd done, "and I doubt it'll be my last."
"Surely. But you might want to spread them out a bit."
"Dare say she'll be back,"
muttered Corlith, though she looked less than convinced and in fact slightly scared.
"Don't care a monthly bleed whether she is or isn't," snapped Ricker. "Away to fuck with you,"
she roared after Isern, whose shaggy head was disappearing behind the frozen grass on the hilltop. She didn't answer.
"A bad time?" came a voice from behind. And there he stood. No arcane robes or golden wands, just a worn old coat and a time-polished stick, the winter sun gleaming on his bald head. He wasn't breathing hard, though the dead knew there was no way to get to the heroes without climbing the hill it stood on. It was as if he'd been there the whole time, but they'd only just now noticed him.
"Bias,"
Ricker stowed her mood away and strolled towards him with a smile, boots crunching in that circle of fresh snow, the heroes, a ring of disapproving giants, frowning on their meeting.
"First of the Magi, first apprentice of great Juvens. Don't I feel special to get an audience?"
"Ricker of the Long Eye."
He walked towards her, not seeming quite so smart and smug as he had in the Hall of Mirrors in Adua. He had a hungry look now, sunken around the eyes, scratty about the beard.
"Daughter of the Dogman, mistress of Ufrith, Carlion, and half the North besides. You have grown a great deal since we last saw one another."
"That'll be the hood," said Ricker. "Gives me an inch at least."
And as they came together in the centre of the circle, she pushed her hood back and dragged her hair over to the side and turned her left eye towards him. For an instant, she saw the flicker of shock.
"Grown not so much in stature,"
he breathed, eyes flickering over her face with keen curiosity,
"as in power. Who tattooed the runes around your long eye?"
"A friend, up in the hills."
"A friend of rare talent in these latter days. 11 wards and 11 wards reversed. Truly a most potent enchantment. I feel more blessed than ever that you consented to a meeting."
Ricker wasn't above being pleased by flattery, but she was above letting it show.
"Man of your age, outdoors in such bitter weather. Figured it must be important."
And she grinned wide. "Your best shield is a smile," her father used to say, and she'd a feeling she might need a shield or two in this conversation.
"Besides, I was in the neighbourhood. Business in Osrung."
And she waved towards the thin smoke rising from the town's chimneys off down the river.
"Been taking a little tour of the north, or the bits I'm in charge of."
"And how have you found it?"
"Seems I'm more in charge of some bits than others,"
she said, casting a frown after Isern.
"No easy business, keeping a crowd of Northmen all facing one way."
"I have been trying for centuries, and it never seems to stick. When we met in Adua,
I told you we should speak later. So later has arrived, said Ricker.
It's got a habit of doing that,
murmured Shivers, whose watchful presence a pace or two behind her she was rather grateful for.
I thought we might discuss the future, said Byers.
We might. And Ricker set off walking, slowly, pacing a circle around the old wizard. But I'd have thought a man old as you would be more concerned with the past. The Magus smiled as he followed her with his eyes.
The past has never interested me. For better or worse, it is done and set and littered with disappointments, as a battlefield is littered with the dead. But the future is a ploughed field full of potential. The future we can twist into wonderful shapes. With my help, the North could be yours, all of it, and not only for today. Imagine all the good we could do together.
Who says I want to do good?
Isn't that what we all want?
Byers gave a sigh through his nose.
History is not the story of battles between right and wrong, but between one man's right and another's. Evil is not the opposite of good. It is what we call another man's notion of good when it differs from ours.
Ricker had her doubts on that score.
So you want to help me stamp my notions on the North? Why not? We all need help from time to time. Oh, we do. All I've got was got with help.
She'd come a full circle now, and she patted Shivers fondly on the shoulder as she passed, then turned to Byers with a thoughtful frown, still walking, slowly, crunch, crunch, crunch. She'd never liked standing still.
Bethard had your help, if I heard the story right. How's he getting along?
I made him king, but he grew arrogant and fell. The Bloody Nine, I think, had your help next. How's he faring?
I made him king too, but he grew wrathful and fell.
Then it was Black Calder who had your help. He must have prospered.
I made him the man who made kings, said Byers, as she passed behind his back. Then he turned his head and caught her from the corner of his eye. But he grew lazy and let you in the back door. My help is not the word of Eos. It cannot protect a man from his own faults.
So if I have your help, who'll protect me from all my faults?
Byers took an impatient breath, like the teacher of a pupil who can't get their sums straight.
I know things have not gone smoothly for you lately. I know some of your friends are friends no more. The Nail and his people in the West Valleys. Even the hill woman Isern Ifail loses patience. I know, on your little tour of the North, you are thought of as too soft, too wild, too strange. But then, as your list of names shows, sitting in Skarling's chair is one thing, staying there is another.
She'd finished another circle now, leaving him in the centre of a ring of her snowy footprints, and she looked him in the eye.
You know a lot. Knowledge is the root of power. I could share mine with you.
Ricker doubted Byers became Byers by sharing more than he had to.
I see things too, she said, turning her left eye towards him and opening it very wide. Who knows? Maybe even a thing or two you don't. I know things haven't gone smoothly for you lately. You left the North in Black Calder's care and he pissed his trousers. His brother's dead and his son's in a cage, and now you have to listen to me flap my lips. And then there's your union, where I saw you give such a fine address, the countless little people laid out before you like a carpet before an emperor. I doubt you'd be so welcome since their great change, eh? Not so many statues of you in the Agrient as there were, and who can blame 'em?
Wasn't long ago you gave them your help, and it laid waste to their proud city and killed them by the cartload. Or did my father tell the story wrong? Talking to you is quite the adventure.
The weather might have been bitter, but the edge on Baez's voice was chillier yet.
You wander off in every direction. I'm a constant surprise, even to myself.
One more impatient puff of smoke, this time through gritted teeth, like a shepherd whose flock won't obey.
Do you see these stones, child?
I do. And she set off wandering again over towards the cloven one.
They're hard to miss, old man. This is where Black Dow died. This very spot. He ruled the north after the Bloody Nine fell. A mighty warrior, a fearsome leader. He held off the Union here. But he thought he could manage without me.
Baez narrowed his eyes towards the flat white country spread out to the north.
He lies in a pit out there, unmarked and unconsidered.
The great leveller catches us all, said Shivers softly.
And he has no favourites and makes no exceptions.
Ricker reached up to run her fingertips down the great split in the stone, already a little smoothed, a little weathered in the years since the battle.
Where did the stones come from? She asked.
The first of the Magi frowned.
The heroes?
Aye. Who put them here? And how? And why?
None alive know that.
Baez glared over at Corlith, and she swallowed and blinked down at the ground.
They come from an age before the old time. They were ancient even when my master Juvens was born.
So old as that?
A good thing stones don't wrinkle, eh? Or run to flab, or lose their hair, or have all their little schemes fall apart around them. I dare say they mostly look as fine as the day they were raised. Though, how did this one get so bruised? Magus art?
Baez frowned harder.
No. A cannon, said Shivers.
A cannon!
It was hard to walk back towards the Magus, like walking into a great wind, but Ricker made herself swan carefree across the snow, leaving a new track of footprints in the white.
Like the ones my good friend Savine Dan Brock, who gave me these lovely emeralds, turns out by the dozen in her new foundry in Austenholm. So I know not whence the stones came either. But I know what broke that one. In this matter, at least, it looks like I'm as wise as you. There was a time of stones before you, and there will be a time of cannons after. And the time before was, and the time after will be, so vasty and so deep that the age of your mastery will seem like the snapping of a child's fingers.
And she snapped hers in Baez's face. Click. His eye gave the slightest twitch of annoyance.
It appears that Tricky Ricker is a name well earned.
And Sticky Ricker, too, she muttered from the side of her mouth. I promise you. No doubt there will be a time after me.
Baez's eyes were fixed on hers, hard and glittering green.
But that time is not yet. For a girl blessed with the long eye, you have made some short-sighted blunders.
She got as close to a carefree shrug as she could, no easy thing with the weight of his displeasure on her shoulders.
You told me once that people must be allowed to make their own mistakes.
His eyes narrowed, and he closed the gap between them with one step. She felt Shivers shift behind her, the faint rattle as he gripped his sword, and she had just the presence of mind to raise one finger to still him.
You are very brave, said the first of the Magi, and his voice was almost painful on her ear. Or very rash.
to cavil with a man who has called up storms and snatched down lightning, who scattered the mighty 100 words like chaff on the wind. He leaned forwards, baring his teeth, and it was the most she could do to stop herself cringing, stumbling back, dropping to her knees.
Why, you must know that with a thought I could make ash of you.
Now that was a hard moment. Worse than hiding in an icy stream while she heard her death plotted on the bank. Worse than when she watched the young lion losing to the great wolf. Worse than when she had to choose which eye to have pricked out. It took all she had to meet Baez's gaze. All she'd learned and all she'd lost. As if his anger was a crushing grip, squeezing the breath from her chest. But she did it. Then she pushed her lips out in a thoughtful pout. Then she pressed her finger against them for a moment. Then she shrugged.
No, she said brightly. I don't see it. If everyone knew you chose the kings, and you had all the power, they might get it in their heads to take it from you. I reckon you'd sooner stay behind the curtain where it's safe and have others do the burning.
There was a chilly silence then, as the cold wind cut between the stones and across the snow-heavy grass. A hard and chilly silence, stretching long, while Rikka wondered if she might have made her last mistake. Then the first of the Magi gave a sigh and stepped back, and the awful pressure was released.
Then you have made your choice.
Perhaps I will go to Cuddaholm. Black Calder, I think, will be grateful for my support.
I expect so, she said, trying to stop her voice quavering with relief.
He needs it. Perhaps when I've settled with him, we should talk again. By that time, you might want to buy secrets from me. Fare you well, first of the Magi.
I would say fare you well, Rikka of the Long Eye.
He gave her the hint of a smile even as he turned away.
But I fear you will fare badly.
And he walked swiftly between the stones and was soon gone down the side of the hill. Corlath puffed out her cheeks and rubbed sweat from her forehead on the back of her hand.
Don't much care for that old bastard, she muttered.
Nor I,
murmured Rikka, folding her arms and hoping her thumping heart would soon settle. Shivers was frowning towards the white fells on the south side of the valley.
He was here after the battle.
I guess there were a lot of crows picking at the leftovers.
Him in particular. When Black Calder and the Union and your father struck a deal.
And my father spat in Calder's hand and swore to kill him if he ever crossed the Cusk again.
That's right. Baez was the one pulling all the strings.
Well, he won't be plucking ours.
Shiver's good eye turned towards her.
Better to have them plucked than cut, maybe.
Maybe.
But her father fought all his life so they could be free. She gave a shiver and pulled her fur collar tight and her hood low and headed back the way they'd come. Northwards, leaving the heroes behind.
Till then, we'll dance to our own tune.